It's time for Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis. Doug is a certified financial planner, providing you with a personal financial hotline to answer your questions about tax planning, investments, retirement planning, estate planning, and education planning. Doug and Linda are the owners of Lewis Financial Management, a registered investment advisory firm in Raleigh, providing financial and investment services since 1983. Doug and Linda will be answering your questions on WPTF phone lines anytime during the next hour. Call 919-860-9783. That's 919-860-9783 to become part of tonight's show.
Hello there, North Carolina. This is Doug Lewis, Certified Financial Planner, once again welcoming you to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis. Money Matters with Doug and Linda has been providing you with a personal financial hotline for all of your questions about investments, estate planning, tax planning, money management, and retirement planning for over 20 years. And again, with me as usual tonight is my wife, Linda, who works with me in our firm, Lewis Financial Management.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. Doug and I are the owners of Lewis Financial Management, a registered investment advisory firm in Raleigh, providing investment and financial advice since 1983.
For over 20 years,
we've been answering your questions on the WPTF phone lines. They are your questions and our answers.
So sit back and enjoy, or if you're free, call us tonight on the open lines. We'll take your calls anytime during the next hour. You're free to call in and ask any financial question about your own personal financial planning. Call us at 860-9783, that's 860-WPTF. Or you can call us toll-free long distance at 1-800-662-7979.
Well, financial planning is everyone's business, and still for most folks, money matters are just a big puzzle. Folks have questions about planning for retirement, planning for a child's college education. They don't know the difference between financial planning and money management. They want to know a lot these days. They want to know what's a mutual fund, what's a limited partnership, what's a REIT, what's a will, what's a living will. And yes, it really can confuse you, but you're not alone. Because in a world crowded with new investments, changing tax laws, rapidly evolving insurance products, and volatile economic cycles, more and more people are looking for clear direction in their financial lives. And yet, unfortunately, the busier and the more successful they are, the less time they have to sort out their financial affairs. And people are asking, is there any solution?
Well, yes, Doug, there certainly is a solution. Out of this increasingly complicated financial environment has come a new breed of professionals that are trying to solve people's money puzzles. And that's the Certified Financial Planner.
It's the Certified Financial Planner who offers something that people don't get from the traditional stockbroker, money manager, accountant, insurance agent, or bank trust officer. And that's a way to consolidate all aspects of people's financial affairs into one financial plan. It's the Certified Financial Planner who knows how to pull together all six areas of a client's financial life.
Doug, I think for many people, the first area of financial planning is cash flow planning, with questions about their emergency fund, their mortgage, their credit cards, and reducing their debt.
Well, yes, Linda, and yet for many people, the second area of financial planning is retirement planning. Those who are working want to know how to compute what they'll need to live on during retirement and how much they should be saving for retirement. They want to know what investments they should choose from the choices in their company's 401k plan. Others are retiring and have received a lump sum payout option from their company's retirement plan, and they want to know, should they take it? And if so, how should they invest it?
Well, Doug, the third area of financial planning that must be dealt with is estate planning. For most people, over their working years, their estate has grown. How can they reduce their estate taxes? And they wonder, are their simple wills sufficient, or maybe they should be considering the complicated world of trusts?
If that's the third area, Linda, the fourth area of financial planning cannot be overlooked. This is tax planning. People are interested in both tax reduction strategies and tax reduction investments, home mortgage interest, charitable giving, tax shelters, tax-free bonds, questions about capital gains taxes, estate taxes, gift taxes, and how to sell real estate tax-free using trusts. What a confusion.
Well, Doug, we can't forget the fifth area of financial planning, which is insurance planning. How much life insurance does a family really need? Do they have too little insurance or maybe too much insurance? Should they have whole life, term, or universal? Should they have long-term nursing care coverage?
You're right, Lynn. And of course, the sixth and most important area of financial planning is investment planning. Here, the questions never stop. What's the best way to diversify my investments? Is now a safe time to invest in stocks? What about bonds? What kind of stock mutual funds? Bond mutual funds, equipment leasing partnerships, REITs, CDs, gold, annuities.
So, Doug, it seems that at last it's time for people to understand that a certified financial planner is really the only one who can tie together all six parts of their financial puzzle. And to you out there listening, if you've got a question on your mind about cash flow planning, retirement planning, estate planning, tax planning, insurance, or investments, call us now on the open lines and we'll answer your financial planning questions. Those numbers to call are 860-9783. That's 860-WPTF. Out of towners, call us toll free at 1-800-662-7979. And if you just want to sit back and listen to the callers through the years, welcome to the show.
Investments offered through HBEC Inc. Investment advice through Lewis Financial Management. Lewis Financial Management and HBEC Inc. are not related entities.
Well, good evening, North Carolina. Thank you for joining us once again on Money Matters. And good evening, Doug. Good evening, Deborah. Hope everyone's having a nice Sunday afternoon. And Doug, as far as the market's concerned, we had quite a rebound at the end of the week, didn't we?
I think it made everybody's weekend a nice weekend. I mean, just consider this. All the people who work for Progress Energy and Duke Power, they're in the middle of a gut-wrenching turmoil. The temperatures are bouncing over 100 degrees, and lo and behold, we have a 204-point rise in the market. I think that was very nice. Made the weekend feel good for a lot of people.
Yeah, yes. I think it did.
Well, Doug, a lot of interesting things happening in the financial markets, and on the tax side, as far as tax planning, there was an interesting article in the Wall Street Journal entitled, "You Don't Have to Be Rich to Use These Tax Shelters." What did you think about that article?
Well, you know, tax shelters have been, we have been involved in tax shelter investing for over 25 years at Lewis Financial Management. And we have seen the good, the bad, the ugly. We've seen the pre-1986 Tax Reform Act tax shelters, some of which were just disasters and others were wonderful. And we've seen the post-86 tax shelter environment in which we are now. But the article, Linda, was pointing to something called the fiscal cliff, which is coming up. And this is really, it's strange because interest rates and capital gains rates and tax rates are going to be affected unless something happens. In other words, if something doesn't happen, by the end of 2012, we're going to have a whole different world because the Bush era tax cuts are going to expire, unless they're extended again. So then it came, the article was really, it was a pretty good article in some senses because the question about capital gains taxes, it made a lot of sense if you think about it. Now, we've been around long enough to remember when capital gains taxes were about 35%, and then we watched them go down from the late 80s all the way down into the 90s when they were down around, in the 20-some percent range, and then 23, and then it got as low as 15%, which is where they are now. 15% tax on capital gains, on long-term capital gains. So then the question comes, well, what's going to happen next year? And how does that affect me this year? And the article said, consider selling your winners early, which sort of goes in the face of the typical advice because most traditional financial planners like myself have said, at the end of the year, if you want to sell your losers, don't sell your winners. and defer your winners, push off until the further down the road. But if capital gains rates are going to rise, then you might want to turn that type of advice upside down. In other words, it might be better to sell your winners today before rates rise.
Oh, yes.
Because if you're going to sell at any time and you're going to pay, say, 25% or 30% on your gains next year, and you could sell those same ones and take your gains now at 15% tax, you might consider, at least according to the article, and I thought it was a good point. Might be better to sell your winners before rates rise. Better to pay 15% on that big profits of Apple. You remember Apple Computer? Remember we had a client come to see us and he was convinced his Apple stock was untouchable. And my advice to him was, you might want to consider selling because you have so much of your wealth in Apple stock. Well, this article underscores even more. Better, the article said, to maybe sell some of that Apple profits now. And then if you need to, go ahead and buy it back later on.
Now, is this evaluation of when to sell fundamentally based in I need tax relief or I'm going to have an upcoming sale anyway? I need to live off of this investment.
Well, that's an excellent question, Deborah, because the typical December sees a flood of tax relief activity. In other words, it's the tax loss sales, avoiding the wash sale rules.
Right.
Where we like something, we want to keep it, but it's down right now temporarily, we think. Let's sell it and capture those losses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's for and that gives us tax relief. This is the opposite of that. All right. This is based upon we're going to be, at some point, repositioning our portfolio. And if we're going to reposition our portfolio according to a safer pattern, better do it now because you're going to pay tax in the repositioning.
I think that's where most people find a lot of value in working with a financial planner and that planning ahead. This is a tax strategy.
Right.
You know, there's tax investing and then there's tax strategies.
That's right. That's right. And this is a strategy that can be applied to the entire financial planning process. So the fiscal cliff that I mentioned that is in a lot of the financial presses, that fiscal cliff relates to December 31 when everything is going to go up dramatically in taxes and you better do something ahead of time before you regret it seriously.
I mean, could the tax rate change? I mean, at any time if the president decided that he would accept
the extension?
That is proposed.
That is definitely.
But he's only proposing income at a certain level, right?
Well, that's another part of the question. If they are extended, then we're fine. We're still with 15% capital gains rate, but depending on whether there is the president's position of only for people under $250,000 income, etc. So you need to, of course, go through your own personal situation with the help of a certified financial planner where we can look at both sides of it. But you're exactly right, Linda. There are a lot of variables here. Almost none of them are good.
Yeah. And I think the bottom line here is whatever you're doing, if you're accumulating and your portfolio is growing and you're just too busy and not attending to it, then, yeah, you need to put the brakes on and work with a certified financial planner, an advisor, as you were saying, Deborah, that will help you look at strategies that will be in line with what your goals and your objectives are in the grand scheme of things, right?
Lynn, there are a lot of myths out there, the traditional little sayings, and some of them were mistakenly thrown into the article, which I disagreed with, and some of them were conveniently popped as myths. The one that I disagreed with is, oh, you should buy municipal bonds. Well, I don't agree with that at all. Okay, that's not the answer. Buy munis, because that's ignoring the chicken for the egg, if you know what I mean. The chicken is the investment. The egg is the income off the investment. And yes, your egg may be tax-free, but if your chicken loses some weight, then you ended up a sorry farmer, if you know what I mean. So I didn't agree with that particular article. I certainly didn't agree with the reference to max out your Roth IRA. But there was something interesting that I did agree with, and that was check the math on your 401k.
I really liked that part of the article. It really underscored where often you'll let the tax tail wag the dog. And in the article, they were saying that the biggest concern is that contributions to a 401k are tax deductible today. But all the money you withdraw, not just the investment gains, will be subject to income tax.
So the traditional view has been max out your 401k. Put as much as you can into your 401k. And it was usually based upon the philosophy, which I disagree with and always have, but that later down the road, you'll be in a lower tax bracket, and therefore max it out now, put as much as you can in now, and later on you'll take it out at a lower tax bracket. Well, this particular article, Deborah, you're exactly right, pointed out that this is going to make sense only if you really think your tax rate's going to be lower in retirement than it is today, but many investors could face huge unexpected hits on their 401k withdrawals when they retire. For two reasons. Number one, the brackets are going to go up. But number two, as we know as financial planners, right, Linda, how many clients of ours do you know in the last 25 years who have ended up spending less in retirement than more?
Not. They usually like to buy more presents for their kids or help them buy a house or whatever it is, gifting strategies. But we encourage
them to do that.
Or just traveling. The price of things has gone
up. That's
right.
True.
I mean, there's a lot that you can't control. And one of those things is just 10 years, 20 years, 30 years later, things are more expensive.
So if you're going to spend more, that means you have to draw more income from your investment portfolio, which means your taxes are going to be higher, not lower.
Now, there is also the problem for some of our North Carolinians who are seniors that are living on farmland. When they were working and making a lot of money, they could afford to pay all the taxes on the extra land, the farmland. But now that their income is decreased, they're still having to pay those taxes without that extra income. So there should be other strategies that you can use.
Yeah, that point, the strategies, and that the article said consider other tax shelters. I did not like the other tax shelters that they suggested. Variable annuities, I thought, was a ridiculous assumption and everything. But there are, Linda, other tax shelters available. Now, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, depending upon the client. Those who are wealthy, they still have the IDC. And the IDC is the intangible drilling cost deduction, which can be as much as a 90% deduction. You have to have a higher income to qualify for these types of investments. You've got to have over $250,000, I think it is.
Or $300,000 for a couple, I believe.
That's right. All right. But if you qualify, then there are those pure tax shelter investments for drilling. And that works well for the wealthy investors if you qualify. And then, of course, for the ones you're talking about, Linda, those who are land rich, cash poor, they can get a double whammy by taking that farmland or that real estate, contributing it to a charitable trust, selling it from the trust and paying zero tax, and getting a tax shelter deduction for the contribution, and then turning it into an income-producing pension back to yourself. So you get a tax deduction for making the contribution, a tax elimination of 100% of the capital gains tax on the sale of the property, and then you have a third benefit from taxes. You've removed it from your estate, and the real benefit to you is you've turned it into income back to yourself. So there are strategies, there
Excellent
are shelters
strategy.
Out there.
And I really think that's where you can see all the pieces of a financial plan coming together. The tax planning, the cash flow planning, the investment planning, just like you talked about in that one strategy.
You're listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis on News Radio 680 WPTF. And if you've got a question about your situation, your finances, your taxes, or your financial planning in general, call us on the open line. That is 919-860-9783. That's 919-860-WPTF. And you can visit our website at DougAndLinda.com. Well, what else is new in the world of investment planning?
You know, investments, of course, are the guts of financial planning. We always say your money matters because your financial future is at stake. And there was an interesting article on the downshift on real estate stocks. Now, real estate returns, they don't get a lot of attention, but the article was very nice. It pointed to REITs, Real Estate Investment Trust, which are real estate stocks, and how there's been a growing volatility in these stocks. The interesting thing about the article, I thought, Linda, was the scorecard for the second quarter. They began the article by pointing out that there are 133 of these real estate stocks, and the average for the second quarter was 4%. Now, you might say, that's pretty good. 4% in one quarter. That's 16% in four quarters. That'd be real nice and everything. But what they pointed to was that there's been a sharp downturn from first quarter to second quarter. Now, as we went through the article and looked at the different real estate stocks that are out there, we saw in the article that some of them did extremely well in the second quarter, and some did just in the second quarter. None of them really did what I thought was bad. You know, real estate is generally considered less risky and more stable than other asset classes. And that's why a lot of people really like the REITs, the Real Estate Investment Trust. We like them a lot in our office. We have for, probably a good 15 years now as part of the investor's portfolio. But then the article went to the different categories of REITs. Can you think of different types of REITs that are out there?
Healthcare.
There's commercial office buildings.
Commercial office buildings.
And then, of course, you've got all the apartments and the hotels.
Apartment REITs, but, hotel REITs, regional mall REITs.
But one of the biggest one in this last decade has been the senior living.
Senior living.
People are living longer, so there's need for a place to live. And when they're downsizing, they go to these senior living communities. And so that has been part of the package as well, hasn't it?
It has. Now, you know, the REITs themselves as a category, they generated a 15% return in the fourth quarter of last year. And then looking at the track record so far this year, they pointed to the industrial REITs, which they pointed it as being sort of a bad news story. I didn't think it was that bad if you say it's only a negative 1%. For the second quarter, when the first quarter got 19%. So I didn't think that was bad at all, because we're looking at 6 months and everything. The year is not over. And then they also pointed out that apartment REITs lost steam. But when they said lost steam, it was down, you know, barely made 1%, when the first quarter they made 8%. So all in all, The different REIT sectors I thought was very interesting. They pointed to the hotel REITs themselves, which slipped a little bit, and the office REITs that slipped a little bit. And then, like you say, Linda, the healthcare REITs, they were at the top. They were the ones that were the darling in the second quarter. They gave over 10% for the second quarter. So I thought it was very interesting to look at the track record of what's happened on the real estate stocks and to look at them as part of the conservative portfolio.
I think it probably goes along with the fact that you have a lot of folks that either have been laid off from large companies. Companies are suffering, so they're laying off employees. Then you also have just the general sector of folks in different communities that are losing their jobs or retiring. And so they're not able to spend the kind of money they used to spend, right? Whether it's taking a vacation and going to the hotel, or, there's just a lot of reasons, right, Doug?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why a lot of the sectors balance themselves out. While there might be a lot of people who may be not taking a lot of vacations, there are a lot more people going into long-term nursing or
senior living
centers. And I think that's the beauty of REIT stocks and REIT investments in general, is that they cover so many different markets.
You're right.
That you have the balance. I mean, you're never going to be without the convenience store on the corner or the fast food place. You may not go as often, but you're not going to be without. You might not go on a vacation, but it might be time to sell your home and move into a long-term care facility.
Because the REITs themselves are required by law to pay out all of their income or 90% of their income, and that income is going to be rent, that makes them a very nice income generator, high dividend producer for the investors. And as Deborah says, they balance the different kinds of REITs, but the one thing they all have in common is they have to pay out their income.
Right. That is a very good feature. You're listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis on News Radio 680 WPTF. Hope you're having a lovely afternoon, enjoying this great weather. It is a little hot out there, but the weather's been nice. Thank God it's not raining torrentially like it was week before last. And we hope you're staying cool and enjoying your family or your loved ones. And if you've got a question about your financial planning or your cash flow planning, your investment strategies, call us on the open line. That number is 919-860-WPTF. That's 919-860-9783. Well, speaking of financial planning, let's take a caller.
And I do believe we have a caller.
Elizabeth, this is Doug Lewis, certified financial planner. How can I answer your question tonight?
Oh, hi, Doug. Thanks so much. I learn something new every time I listen to you.
Oh, that makes me feel good.
I have a question tonight about zero coupon bonds.
All right.
I have some Virginia municipal bonds.
Uh-huh.
And recently moved to North Carolina, and I wondered if maybe you could give me some advice on what I should do about these bonds, if anything. As I recall, I don't think any of them have a yield any less than 10%.
At the yield to maturity?
Yield to maturity, right.
Right. When they mature, how much are they going to be worth?
It's about the maturity value is $750,000.
All right, so they're going to be worth $750,000 when they mature. How much did you originally invest?
Well, I'm not real sure, in all honesty. My husband bought these when our first child was born,
uh-huh.
And he has passed away, so I'm not real sure, and I think I have all the original receipts, but I haven't really looked at that.
Now, this is interesting. Whose name were they in?
They were in joint names, and I've had them re-registered in my name.
That's a real shame. Sorry to hear that.
Oh.
You missed the step-up in basis on half of it, but you got the step-up on half of it also.
Yes.
Well, we need to, it'd be very important for us to know how much he originally paid. You have no idea at all.
I really don't.
All right. Well, that would be the other part of my answer. But the next part of my answer has to deal with what they're worth today. What could you sell them for today? What's the value of them today?
They're registered in a brokerage account right now. And my last statement showed a value of a current market value of maybe about $250,000.
All right. $250,000 is what they're worth today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Before I answer any more questions, what other investments do you have, Elizabeth, besides these zeros?
Stocks and bonds and mutual funds.
How much do you have in stocks and bonds?
In an IRA, a self-directed IRA, it's about $500,000.
All right.
And then in a personal account with cash and everything, and including those bonds, is another about $500,000.
So about $250,000 excluding these?
Yes.
Okay.
And
what's that $250,000 in?
Stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and cash. About $50,000 of that, I think.
All right. What this tells me, and I don't know, are you a high-risk taker, Elizabeth?
I'm getting more conservative.
Yeah,
As I get older.
Well, good for you. Good for you. I mean, I really am. I don't like what I see. I have to tell you that.
Oh, really?
No. Well, you're in a very high-risk posture. Now, first of all, let me explain to you that if I add up this 500 and the other five, the 500 in the IRA and the 500 that you have here, that's $1 million altogether, and you have 25% of your total portfolio in zeros.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You need to hold in the back of your head when I tell you, don't even argue with me, but just hold in the back of your head that zero coupon bonds are one of the riskiest investments there are, even though you don't think they are probably.
Really?
Yes.
Ooh.
Okay, now hold that piece in the back of your head and let me go forward and show you that 25%
of your portfolio is in very high risk. But worse than that, how old are you, Elizabeth?
45.
45. This is terrible. Worse than that, your portfolio is 500 of it is untouchable, basically, because it's qualified money. It's IRA money.
Mm-hmm.
So of your personal portfolio, which is 500,000, 50% of it is in this high risk posture. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, if you understand that, let's go to the question of what is a zero coupon bond? What is a zero coupon tax free? And why is it high risk? First of all, it is extremely volatile. The value goes up and down. It's built upon the concept of leverage.
Mm-hmm.
And the longer the maturity, the more the value goes up and down in any particular day. It's just like the stock market.
I see.
Not only that, there could be little things along the way also on the quality of the bonds. I think you want to approach it from a viewpoint of asset allocation.
Mm-hmm.
We have to look at the tax aspect of it, of course, also.
Yeah.
And that's why I asked you at the beginning, what was the cost basis, how much your husband paid for them?
Yeah.
And when did he die?
3 years ago.
He died 3 years ago. I'm so sorry, because he must have been a young man.
He was.
My.
He was.
Do you have children?
Yes.
How old are your children?
They're now they are 10 and 4.
So your children, you've got young children to plan for also.
Yes.
Yeah, you need to be working with a certified financial planner to do the entire asset allocation, to do the college education funding, and to look at the tax aspects at the same time.
The numbers to call during the week at the office are area code 919-872-7000. That's 919-USA-7000.
Are you working, Elizabeth?
I am not currently working.
Well, I would think you've got two young children at home, and you don't need to be working, but it looks like your investment portfolio should be supporting you.
Yeah, we're fine. And with insurance also.
Mm-hmm. Well, I personally think, yeah. I think that what you should do is reposition your portfolio. Aside from the fact, I don't like you being $250,000 in stocks and bonds. You should be in managed monies.
And what do you mean by managed money?
You should be in pools of money, spreading yourself over mutual funds if you want to be in stocks, bond funds if you want to be in bonds. I think that you need to go ahead and look at your total position from the viewpoint of asset allocation.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go ahead and have a planner work with you and determine what is the proper unit size, whether it be $25,000 or $50,000. That's the maximum to go in any one investment. And that $25,000 or $50,000 should be in a pooled investment, not an individual, not $25,000 in one stock, but $25,000 in a mutual fund that has 100 stocks. You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And then the selection of these funds should be based upon the managers, not the stocks. And of course, you see what I'm saying?
And what, the manager's history?
You want to look at the manager's track record.
Yeah.
You want to look at the manager's experience. You want to look at the manager's style. You want to look at the manager's philosophy of investment. There are some managers who have a high beta. In other words, they move money back and forth real quickly. That means their funds may do excellently at any given year. And when you look at their performance history, their numbers, but it's a rocky road along the way because they're moving money back and forth. It can be up and down, and they may have ended up good, but can you take that sort versus a manager that has a low beta to his portfolio, which means he's done well also, but with less movement of monies back and forth, less buying and selling of stocks. You see what I'm saying?
I see.
These are the things you want to look for or have a planner look for in the selection of the funds that make up your portfolio. And you should understand what you're doing and why you're doing it with each one and then understand the whole makeup.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
I see.
Then, of course, the tax aspect needs to be taken into consideration.
Yeah.
And of course, someone should also look at the estate.
I see.
Did you revise the will after your husband passed away, Elizabeth?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I have done that since I've moved to North Carolina.
She might even need a trust, right, Doug?
She probably got one.
Okay. I was thinking. Sounds like she's already done. She's already taken some steps with regard to the. Do you have a revocable living trust?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Good.
I do. I my first priority was being sure that my children will be okay if something should happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I've got that covered. But I was really interested in what you might think about these zero coupon bonds.
No, I don't like zero coupon bonds. Almost never. Almost always I recommend staying away from zero coupon bonds because they are sold to people as safe investments, and they're not safe investments. Yeah. They're very volatile investments. They're safe only if the guarantee is made good 20 years down the road.
Yeah, I see. And even in the last 3 years, I've gone through a couple of iterations of having a couple of them called. You know, $5,000 is the face value being called.
Mm-hmm.
A good salesman will probably tell you they're safe, right, Doug?
Well, it's just, yeah, you can sell the features and benefit. That's called selling the sizzle, not the steak.
Yeah.
And you really need to understand what is the steak that you've got, not just what's the flavor of the odor.
Yeah.
Elizabeth, if you would be interested in receiving some more information, or, you know, I can send you a packet of information if you might like to speak with Doug personally.
Mm-hmm.
And the number at the office is 872-7000. 872-7000.
872-7000. Okay.
And that's in Raleigh.
Okay. Well, this is a real education for me, and y'all help me every time I listen to you.
Good. Thanks for listening, Elizabeth.
Okay. Thank you so much, Doug and Linda. Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, I really like Elizabeth.
What a sweet lady. Thank you for the compliment, Elizabeth. And to all of our listeners who are out there, that if you have recently lost a loved one, either a husband or a wife, our hearts go out to you. There is a great transition that folks have to go through when they lose a loved one, don't they, Doug?
That's right. That's right.
And in some cases, you know, they have a well laid out plan, a financial plan for their situation. And in other situations, it's a big crisis. So, Doug, what's your feeling as far as investment vehicles and how to assist clients? You said, you know, that in her situation, municipal bonds was not the right vehicle as part of her asset allocation.
Well, that was zero coupons, but I think usually it begins with not doing anything drastic that first year,
right.
Slowing things down, meeting with a financial planner, starting to make a list of things that have to be accomplished or need to be accomplished, or we're halfway accomplished, and where do we go from here? And as somebody who's, you know, receiving a lot of these calls, or as the recipient of a lot of these calls, whether or not something bad may have happened, there's a lot of questions about how do I take what I've done halfway or not finished and really buy the hourly advice on what I need to do to get to the next place in my life.
Yeah, I think, Deborah, Linda, the question first starts with the individual investor. There are some things that I dislike for any investor. There's some vehicles I just dislike. I don't like trying to own individual stocks. To be a stock jockey, to play the stock market, I think is sort of too high risk for most long-term planning clients. Number two, I don't like individual municipal bonds, because we have seen individual municipal bonds that have been disasters in the years that we've been in this business. I don't like individual corporate bonds. And every one of them has a certain sales pitch that the person selling them talks about. But what they don't talk about is what's the risk. And so every investment has risk, and I would rather use managers of mutual funds to let them evaluate the risk of buying this particular bond or that particular bond or this particular stock or that particular stock, because it's really not so much when you buy it, it's when you sell it. Now, in Elizabeth's case, she was thinking, well, maybe she should just hold those all the way to the end. But that's not wise either, because that's not financial planning. And so a mutual fund manager who has maybe 100 individual municipal bonds or 100 individual blue chip stocks, that manager is the one that we should be betting on rather than the individual stock. And then we can go to, let's look at managers. Let's look at track records of managers.
You see what I'm saying? Does that answer your question, Linda?
That's very important, is to look at the track record.
Of the manager. Most people say, oh, my Apple stock has done great. And I laugh. Your Apple stock has done, it's done nothing until you sell it. That's like saying, my General Motors stock has done great. And here we are in September of 2007. Yeah. And my General Motors stock has done great. Now, fast forward 6 months, and what happened to my great General Motors stock that went bankrupt? No, your stock never does anything until you sell it. But a manager, we can look at his track record to see how he's done when he sold.
How is his performance?
That's right, performance in selling. And that's really what I prefer to do. And then if we want municipal bonds, and I think sometimes municipal bonds are very good investments, actually the high-yield muni bond funds right now I like very much. They happen to be a category where some managers are doing very well. But I really think if we focus on managers and not focus on the individual investments, we're in a lot safer posture for looking at long-term planning.
You're listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis on News Radio 680 WPTF. And hope you're having a wonderful Sunday afternoon. And if you've got a question about your situation, if you have recently been widowed or have become a widower and you have questions about the assets that are in your hands and what to do with them to provide security for you as you take care of your children or your overall situation, give us a call on the open lines. That number to call is 919-860-WPTF. That's 919-860-9783. And visit us on our website at www.dougandlinda.com. Well, Doug, what about the recent big news that's been happening in North Carolina that's making international news as far as the Duke and Progress Energy merger?
Well, I know at our office, just before you comment on that, Doug, is that we've been receiving lots of calls, most recently this past week, about, can I get on your calendar, come talk to you about what my options are? And if I hadn't been thinking about them before, I'm definitely thinking about what to do with those options now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is going to be a very life-changing event for many of the local residents of North Carolina whose lives are being affected. I know that to try and go through this period alone is very, very foolish. You need to seek out the help of professional advice. See a certified financial planner. If you don't see us, see someone else. But find someone that can help evaluate your situation, because the only thing I can say is it's going to get worse, not better.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a lot of uncertainty out there.
There's a lot of uncertainty out there. Yeah,
within the company, what might be available. And
how does it affect?
And how does it affect me? How do I retire?
Yeah. So anyway, our hearts do go out to all the folks that are between Duke Energy and Progress Energy and the fallout. And hopefully there will be some good resolution to all of this.
And if you do have any questions during the week, give me a call. It's 919-872-7000. All right, Doug. Well, what's new in the world of, let's see here, just financial planning, and what kinds of things are available for our listeners?
There was a really interesting article in the Wall Street Journal. Said it was entitled, "Your Advisor Does What for You?" I thought that was cute.
Cute title.
Yeah, it was a cute title. It said that financial planners are starting to throw in unusual perks to win more business. Here's how you can get more for your money. I thought it was sort of cute because the article really confused financial planners and money managers.
Mm.
And so what they were talking about in this article, which they called financial planners, they said things like, well, if you really push your financial planner hard enough, you might be able to get some help in your home. Some financial planners often wind up with Rolodexes stuffed with numbers of contractors, plumbers, and the like to help clients take better care of their biggest asset, their home. That's true. Most money managers wouldn't even think like that, but maybe they are thinking like that. But guess what?
That's a part of financial planning.
That's what we do all the time.
You get involved in people's lives.
We have been doing that for decades now.
Well, when you're a part of someone's life for decades,
that's exactly
these are the things that come up in a real person's situation.
And sometimes it may be a mortgage broker.
How many times have we helped clients find mortgage brokers?
Mm-hmm. Competent, right.
Even movers. Mm-hmm. We've helped clients find a mover that needed to move from one place to another and so forth.
Recently, the chauffeur service for a client who was... considering stopping driving permanently and hiring a service.
That's right.
So
that's
these are the things that part of natural progression.
Yeah, their children get to be they're in the 50s and the 60s, and they're concerned about their parents in their 80s. What about chauffeur services? So these are very normal if you're actually practicing financial planning as we do at Lewis Financial Management. The article made it sound as if, oh my gosh, if you really push hard, you can find ways to get these things out of your financial planner. They're really talking about out of your money manager. And then there was one little remark in there about helping choose a retirement community.
Ooh, that's a big one for us.
Yeah.
Several clients have, as they were thinking about where to go or what type of place they might need, they definitely... sought the two of you to get advice on how to communicate with the places, both from your own personal experiences, but also just a lifetime being in this business. You've done this for several people.
Well, usually what happens as individuals or couples are becoming elderly, or maybe one of the spouses may have memory issues, et cetera, and they want to transition from the big home to a smaller place. And so they're going to go out and look at different living communities, right, Doug?
Right. And you remember in the one case that I'm thinking of, we got very involved in negotiating a lower contract.
Exactly.
Because all those things are negotiable.
You're right.
We found a high, you know, very high quality retirement community for the for our clients, but we felt that we should be involved. Client asked us to, and we helped negotiate a lower contract. So all those things are there. The only thing that was sort of interesting, I thought, in the article that really grabbed my eye was it said, fee-only financial planners typically charge a flat 1% annual fee on assets up to $1 million and 0.75% on assets larger than that. Well, I don't know. Maybe that's what's happening in the money management world. Our fees are far, far, far below that. Maybe one-third of that is our fees. We don't charge anywhere near that, and we are doing total financial planning. So I thought it was a cute article. It totally missed the target when they're talking about us, but there it is. Those services should be part of total financial planning.
It's interesting because I guess people are doing a lot of different and interesting things to assist their clients and... you know, ways to retain their clients, but also to assist them through different various stages of life. If you've got a question about your situation, you're listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis on News Radio 680 WPTF. And you can call us with your questions. Call us on the open line at 919-860-9783. That's 919-860-WPTF.
Well, in the world of cash flow planning, there was some good news that was followed up with some very bad news.
The article was really shocking with regard to the statistics on home prices, and the bad news was it's only going to get worse. The article said many were counting on their homes to help finance their retirements. They've been waiting for years for the real estate market to return and bounce back, and now they find themselves on the short end of the stick. And unfortunately, many people now who were planning to retire may have no chance. So I was very interested in the article. It's what we have been telling our clients for a long time. Mainly, don't hold your breath. Bounce backs are typically very slow.
And this was in regard to the home prices hitting the bottom.
Exactly.
I didn't mention that, and I forgot to say that. But the that's the good news, that this real estate market, the prices might have hit the bottom, but the bad news is that things are pretty bleak out there.
They are if you're waiting for your property to go back up again. Bounce backs typically slow. The last crash took more than a decade to get through, and it could be even longer now because this huge accumulation of foreclosed on houses is going to hold down prices for long, long times in the future.
And strangely, it's because there's a backlog of about 2 million home loans in foreclosure waiting to come onto the market.
Isn't that incredible? 2 million.
2 million.
2 million. Oh, my gosh.
That's one in three.
One in three mortgages, the statistics show, are underwater or foreclosed upon. So where are they going to go? Prices on homes in the future, the article said, probably they're not going to go very far, and you need to go ahead and look at your local market, but you need to be realistic. I thought that realistic statement was really good.
Oh, and that's I think, the hard part for a lot of people, because the true value of your home isn't what you paid for it or what you refinanced it for in 2006, but it's what it's worth now. And, you know, if that's the true value, waiting around for what you might get, it's what you could sell it for now. So if you spent money on improvements and are hoping and waiting to just wait till you get your money back, that money is gone.
That money is gone. You have to be realistic. And you need to know what's your negative equity. There are 11 million American homeowners now who are underwater on their mortgages. That means there's no way they could ever sell their home for even what it is worth. And so you need to be really realistic about the negative equity. Sometimes just let the house go. Sometimes the bank's willing to accept a short sale where you sell it for what you can get for it, and the bank eats the loss.
I agree with you, Doug, because sometimes folks just get stuck, and they think, you know, they're waiting for the right buyer. They're waiting for that person that's going to pay them to recoup, as you said, Deborah, the money that they put into it. But it may not happen. So might as well simplify things. And
sometimes the answer is just let the house go. Let them foreclose on the house. They can't come and go ahead and the bank can't get from you what you don't have. They can't garnish your wages. They can't do that. So sometimes you just have to let it go and be realistic, because you have a life in front of you.
And I think you should look at your cash flow. I think that's probably the most sobering of all of the things that you can do in that situation is, well, how does this really affect me? What is this really costing me to keep this house? You know, it might be cheaper to rent in your area than it is to buy. You might be in an area where it might be less expensive to own a house. But just not knowing what your situation is, whether or not, you know, whether or not your own cash flow needs are going to be able to handle a house is, I think, one of the things that can probably prohibit you the most. If you haven't looked at your own numbers and you don't know if it's the right thing to own a house or rent a house, then you may not even know what to do. And that is just, I think, a feeling where, at least I hear a lot of people say, that it's so overwhelming. What do I do? How do I evaluate this?
It would be well worth your time, your energy, and your money to work with a certified financial planner. And if you've got a question, call us at the office. We can set up schedule an appointment sometime maybe in August. And that way you can get answers to your questions and not feel paralyzed by the situation, right?
That's right.
That's part of it, is just the psychology of it all. You feel lost. You feel, you know, let's get on with life, though.
And I think a question can tend to overtake your life. And before you know it, you've forgotten to talk about or to figure out your own financial and personal needs. And you're being distracted by national, economic, or other data. And I think, you know, many homeowners just have to stop putting the media distractions on hold and say, okay, well,
all the cliches out there.
Right. And how do I fix my own cash flow needs problem?
What's
today?
I need to have a place to live. I need shelter. How about renting a home?
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good move for me?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's time for something new, right? So anyway, I think that's great.
Yeah.
The last thing we might talk about this evening before we hear the music in the background would be the big news that a lot of folks are talking about, dividends. Dividend-paying stocks, mutual funds of dividend-paying stocks, and should dividend-paying stocks be part of the investment portfolio? I'm going to give a strong yes, they should be, because when you come to the question of how you can benefit from investing in dividend-paying stocks, mutual funds that have dividend-paying stocks in them can contribute to your successful long-term investment strategy. They can be especially important during periods of low interest rates, and they can stabilize during times of volatility. So I think a very good piece of the investment world of every client should be mutual funds of dividend-paying stocks.
And the dividend-paying stock. Well, thank you. That's our music. Have a great week.
Thanks for joining us. And call us, 919-872-7000.
You've been listening to Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis. Money Matters provides you with a personal financial hotline on any subject where money really matters. For more information, you can call Doug and Linda in Raleigh at 872-7000. That's USA 7000. Listen again next Sunday at 6:05 for Money Matters with Doug and Linda Lewis on 680 WPTF.